This summer, Paris began a bike-sharing program, the latest of many similar programs in Europe, from Oslo to Barcelona. In July, the Forum for Urban Design tested the idea out on New Yorkers to see whether or not a bike-sharing program would work here. And joining me now to discuss the results is David Haskell, Executive Director of the Forum for Urban Design. I'm very pleased to welcome him to the show. Hello.
Hi.
Mayor Bloomberg was recently in Paris and found the bike-sharing program there interesting, but didn't he say he wasn't sure how it could be applied in New York City?
He did. We were all paying attention to his trip over there and wondering how he would respond. And it seemed like he was hedging his bets a little bit. From what I recall, he brought up issues of safety and liability and also whether helmet use.
Because the law is that you have to wear a helmet here, and this would involve people bringing helmets with them whether they use a bike or not.
Well, no, the law actually does not require helmets for adults. It does if you are a delivery or messenger, but recreationally, you don't need to be wearing a helmet as an adult in New York. And so we would have to, in the city, if we wanted to implement a bike share project, look at the question of helmets and figure out ways of encouraging them. Certainly.
How do European bike sharing programs work? Are they the same in most of the cities involved?
There are small differences, but the general idea is this. There are, in a given city like Paris, thousands of bikes, and they are attached to stations that are scattered around the city. If you take Paris as an example, there are currently 750 stations, and by the end of the year, there will be 1,400 or 1,500 stations.
How many bikes to a station?
Between 20 and 40. And if you compare that to, say, metro stops, there's less than 300 metro stops in all of Paris. So even though it seems like every time you walk down a street in Paris, you see another metro stop, imagine how many stations there are. And as a user, as a Parisian citizen or just a tourist, you can walk up to any of those stations and swipe a card, either your credit card or a membership card. And there are typically some sort of fees, either daily, weekly, or annual fees. In the case of Paris, I think the annual fee for the program would be something around $40. And then beyond that...
And you can use the bikes as many times as you want.
You can use them as many times as you want. And in Paris, they're operating 24/7, and the first half an hour is free. So you've swiped your card, and a light blinks at the station, and one of these bikes that has been attached in this high-technology way becomes available, and it's yours. And your credit card is ultimately cyber-attached to the bike, and you're responsible for it. You'd be charged about $200 if you didn't return it. But it's yours, and you can return it to any other station in the grid. And that's the real power behind a bike share project and not a rental.
If listeners are curious about how this whole thing looks, we actually have a slideshow of images of the Paris bike share posted on our website at WNYC.org. And they're courtesy of one of our listeners, Ken Coughlin, who happened to take them while he was in Paris, and he was curious about this. Are these just regular bikes? Do they have any special features?
No, they're special bikes. In a way, they look more like municipal property than they do like a sports bike. They're basic, simple, durable, safer than regular bikes.
So I would swipe my card, take the bike, ride it to the next place, and if that was the end of my journey, I would just simply attach it to another bike station?
Exactly. And even if it wasn't the end of your journey, if you were on your way to go shopping for dinner and then off to a movie and then going home, each time would be a separate trip and you'd check out a separate bike. The whole program is designed for short trips. So the first half an hour is free. The second half an hour costs €1. The following half an hour costs about €3. It escalates up. And so you're really discouraged for holding on to a bike for the afternoon. If you wanted to do that, you could rent a tourist bike or you could own your own bike. This is really replacing municipal transit.
Obviously, people own bikes in Paris. So this would be extra. They might leave the bike at home and then just do a short trip.
Right. And actually, they've noticed that private biking has actually gone up in the months since the Paris program has been adopted.
Bike sharing has been in existence in Europe for a while now. Why do you think the program in Paris has received so much media attention?
Well, probably primarily because of the scale. 10,000 bikes now, 20,000 by the end of the year. That's transformative. But I think also what we've noticed in the last few years is that the technology behind the idea has changed dramatically. So it's not what many New Yorkers, when we discovered when we did our project, many New Yorkers think of bike sharing as, oh, a city's going to buy a bunch of bikes, maybe paint them white, throw them in the streets and hope that nobody steals them. And of course they will, and aren't bike sharers naive, and these programs are socialist and not going to get anywhere. Really what's happened is that, first of all, the private market has stepped in, and the programs run in Paris, but also in Lyon, Barcelona, and Oslo are all run by private companies. These companies are actually from the advertising industry, and they create relationships with the municipal government so that they can sell advertisements either directly on the bike share system or in billboards.
I have feared for my life just crossing some streets in Paris. Has anything been done there in order to make bike riding a safe option?
Yeah, there has, and it's an instructive little lesson if New York is thinking about this. If you go to Paris now, or even if you went 6 months ago, it would look like one of the most bike-friendly cities in the world. It has tons of dedicated bike lanes, and the city is mostly flat, and it's dense, and it seems like a perfect biking place. But interestingly enough, if you were to have been there in, say, 1995, it would have looked like a city with terrifying little alleyways and vast boulevards and not at all bike friendly. And what we've seen over the last 12 years is the city adopting a bike friendly culture, implementing dedicated bike lanes, often doing so after a transit strike when Parisians in those moments of crisis turn to bicycling.
Is it important that a project like this make a profit, or is bike sharing more important because it would cut down on pollution?
Well, it's a larger idea. It's a much larger idea than the profit mechanism. And, you know, any city has the opportunity to structure it the way they want. If they do want to work with a private company, they can either pay that company a fair vending fee for the company to manage it, or go into some sort of contractual arrangement about the advertising. But the real benefit to the city is in terms of health, in terms of mobility, in terms of reducing your carbon footprint, and also in terms of symbolism.
Has the number of cars on the streets been reduced?
I think it's too early to tell for Paris. People point to Lyon, that is 2 years ahead of Paris. And the statistic I read is that 4% of car users, it's down by 4%.
My guest is David Haskell, executive director of the Forum for Urban Design. We're talking about bike sharing in New York. It seems to me that a big problem here, and maybe it's a big problem in Oslo and Stockholm and some of the other cities that already have bike sharing, is the weather, because a lot of people ride their bikes in the summertime, but when New York is cold and rainy, I can't imagine very many people want to take advantage of this.
Yeah, it's interesting that cities like Oslo and Stockholm are actually leaders here. And so we can look to them in terms of designing a program. Paris actually has weather that's almost exactly like New York's. And you see that the plan is, in Paris's case, and has been in Oslo and Stockholm's case, to reduce the program during the winter months, take some of the bikes off the street, and, you know, just understand that this is a program that's not going to work on every day for every person.
So what happened when you tried your experiment here? Did people respond well?
It was amazing, the response that we got. We structured our program so that it was partly an exhibition of these European programs, and we invited Flickr photographers to send in images of the streets of, say, Stockholm and Barcelona, just to give New Yorkers a sense that, yes, this is a reality. It's not just an urban fantasy, but this actually happens in Europe. And then we ran an experiment, and we had 20 bikes in our in this storefront, and invited New Yorkers to take them out for a spin for 30 minutes for free. And the response there was really exciting. Many of the people who came were, of course, bike enthusiasts, but we probably had more people who haven't ridden a bike in New York ever, certainly don't own a bike, and found it liberating to be able to get on a bike and not have to worry about locking it up or keeping it in their apartment.
Well, some listeners have written in to us to express dismay with the way bicyclists ride the streets, running red lights, going on the sidewalks. There'd be a fear that we would see a lot more of that now.
Well, I think what we're probably going to witness is a transition from it being a renegade phenomenon and to a more mainstream one. And so, you know, the implementing of new bike lanes, and especially of dedicated bike lanes, which is something that the city is already doing but would probably have to take place at a larger scale than is going on now, that would change the culture. And it would be easier to bike in the city, and it would be harder to bike inappropriately in the city.
So what has the city's response been? After all, the mayor is pushing hard for a congestion fee for cars in the city. This would seem to perfectly dovetail
It seems to dovetail with a lot of his plans, not just congestion pricing, but also the entire 2030 idea that he has of making the city greener and more environmentally responsible. We also have a new...
So they've been talking with you?
Well, we have been talking with various agencies in the city, especially the Department of Transportation. Their leader is... a huge bike enthusiast, and she seems to be in the paper every other day talking about the city's plans. The city had just won bronze award for the third best bike-friendly city in America, just by virtue of the fact that it's increasing its bike lanes, increasing plans for bike storage, introducing an awareness campaign about safety. The city is definitely understanding that biking is an important component to a new transportation plan. Oh. Is it currently ready to adopt bike sharing? I think what we saw in the mayor's comment in Paris is not yet, and that's a frustrating moment.
Is he the main obstacle that we face before a bike sharing program can be implemented?
Oh, I don't think he's the main obstacle, but what is needed is political leadership from the top. So if you compare this to any other major transportation project that you can imagine, it costs peanuts. It's not an issue of digging underground or of spending billions of dollars. It's really repainting streets, putting in some serious thought to making dedicated bike lanes, making a political calculation that we were going to remove some parallel parking spaces and insert bike stations instead, and rallying the city around the idea that biking should be safe and we should all support it, and that this is a very optimistic, fun, beautiful way to make the city more green and environmentally sustainable and easier to get around.
I also hope it would encourage the city to enforce rules, having bikers actually give hand signals when they're making a turn and wait at red lights and the like.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to that. I think this is a great idea, and I thank you so much for being with us today. David Haskell is Executive Director of the Forum for Urban Design. You are seriously promoting doing something like what they've done in Paris?
Well, we are doing what we can to make this make your average New Yorker aware that this is a possibility. So we had a program last summer. We are working with Transportation Alternatives and other organizations on some events in the upcoming year. I'm actually soon leaving the Forum and working at New York Magazine, and so the Forum will be able to take this on from here as one of their signature projects for 2008.
Well, good luck at New York Magazine, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.